Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking with me, Delia Delore. If you've not heard the show before, welcome. Get ready to learn with us as we dissect popular mottos, mantras, and metaphors. We trace their origins and find how they translate to everyday life. Each week, we have a special guest who resonates with their chosen expression. Today's guest is the chef Jason Howard. Barbadian-born and Vincentian by descent, Jason is making his place in history as a modern Caribbean chef living in London. With over 18 years of professional experience, Chef Jason has mastered infusing the flavors from his home cuisines with international cooking techniques, presenting Caribbean dishes at its finest level of enjoyment. In today's episode, we'll discuss the phrase, failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. As a consumer of multiple media outlets, I often find myself in awe of talented artists, singers, writers, directors, so many people who shine so brightly, you wonder if you can ever match up. And yet, we can only see the final product, the prize born from a thousand no's. In today's episode, you will experience the subtle beauty of failure and why it is crucial to developing your sense of self. You put down your toothbrush and look at the canvas with disgust. A half-finished portrait stares back at you. No matter how you thought about it, you just couldn't seem to get the left eye perfectly symmetrical. So you've just left it blank. As you're packing away your tools, you eye your classmates' paintings, picking out small imperfections in their work. The person's next to you is one of the worst. The left eye, which you are stuck on, is completely off center, warping their portrait. And yet, he writes little post-its and diagrams cheerfully. He knows that next time he will move it a little up and a little to the left. You look back at your blank circle. What will you do when you are faced with the eye again?
When you're in your room and you stand at the ceiling, dreaming, I want you to know it's no ceilings. I want you to notice that feeling. I want you to leap and go forward. I want you to reach with no fearing. Throw clearing, scream it, let them hear it.
Each and every one of us is scared to fail. It's human nature. Scared to fail our exams, our progress reports, our paintings, even our families and friends. And yet, if we do not try, our canvas will remain blank forever. This mindset will separate you from greatness, those who shine brighter than you are, embracing failure every day, in their quest to fill that blank canvas. They place value on their failures just as much as their successes, as failure gave their success its flavor. Start reaching out. Throw yourself at your hurdle. You might stumble or even slow down, but you are closer to finishing the race.
I can't draw a straight line. I don't have the talent, Bob, to do what you're doing. That's baloney. Talent is a pursued interest. In other words, anything that you're willing to practice, you can do. And this is no exception.
The concept of talent is often misconstrued as an innate fixed ability that propels individuals to success effortlessly. However, talent, in its conventional sense, is a somewhat fictional idea. While some individuals might display a knack or inclination for a particular skill, true mastery and achievement are almost always a result of hard work, dedication, and resilience in the face of failure. The path to success is not exclusively reserved for the naturally gifted. Rather, it's paved by those who tirelessly devote themselves to improvement, continually honing their craft through relentless effort and learning from their mistakes. Successes born from hard work and failure can parallel or even surpass those attributed solely to perceived talent, emphasizing that perseverance and resilience are pivotal in achieving remarkable feats. To succeed in our lives, we must understand that whilst talent might create a starting point, it's hard work and embracing failures that create the ladder to a higher level. If you've ever hosted or been a part of an interview, I can guarantee you have heard the phrase perfectionist tossed around one too many times. To the rookie interviewee, it serves as the perfect answer to the dreaded "what are your weaknesses?" question, but raises immediate red flags with any experienced employer. As we have come to understand, perfectionism only represents an unfinished product, a severe lack of experience that is not welcome when deadlines are fast approaching. Our scriptwriter today is young and has penned multiple ideas into their notebook while on the tube. But by the time they've arrived home, the words are scribbled away. Like many of you, they can stand out as their own worst critic. An idea that they took forward into their first feature-length script had been warped and altered before page 10, leaving them with a jumbled mess of dialogue when they could have moved on to Act 3. Thinking back to times in their life where they have learned the most storytelling, they remember primary school teachers telling them to streamline their characters' desires, which has directed their writing ever since. In this way, it becomes clear that we cannot be our own critics. We are simply unsuited for such an important role. Instead, bake your cake, draft your report, write your story, and then pass it on to someone else. I know it's hard, but with their feedback, you can adjust your next project to be even stronger. Rinse and repeat. I'm excited to welcome our guest, Chef Jason Howard, who in his journey to become the first ever Caribbean chef to earn a Michelin star, has developed plating techniques that have certainly created a beautiful and remarkable memory to the eye and palate, serving you with an experience like never before. Just go online, you'll see what I mean. He was also a quarterfinalist in MasterChef Professionals 2015 and partook in the 2017 Iconoclast dining experience at James Beard House. His skills have also been recognized by Greg Wallace as the first chef to redefine Caribbean cuisine. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on Metaphorically Speaking today. It's been a while since we have met.
It's been a bit too long.
It has, and I have been following you, and I want to talk a bit about that later on. But first of all, of course, this show is about metaphors. So, we've a metaphor, and we wanted to know how that resonates with you. And the metaphor is, failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. What does that mean to you as a chef?
To be honest, as a chef, looking at failure and stuff in my industry, it's one of the building blocks of the culinary industry, because there's no recipe without a mistake or without, as we call, a failure. And there are recipes that have come from failure, a lot of recipes. So I don't think anyone woke up one morning and said, you know what, I have a recipe for hollandaise sauce, I have a recipe for mayonnaise, I have a recipe for anything. So these recipes came from failure. So I think that resonates with me and lets me know that, to be honest, as it says, failure is the condiment for success. So for me, failure on a recipe does not actually mean failure. It means we learn a lot. So for me, it resonates very deep.
Can you think of an example you can give us in terms of perhaps when you are looking at, you know, sourcing your foods or putting your menus together or putting something delicate together that you've kind of learned? Because I know that you have to persevere to get not only the taste, and because of the way that you specialize, the look is very important to you too. Can you think of maybe an instance where you have, based on trying so many things, and as you say, perhaps you don't think of it as a failure because you're trying to make it look and taste the way that you want to. Can you think of an example?
Well, I would say it, to be honest. It's just as you said, I don't look at it as failure. I look at it as another way to understand, another route to get to where I want to. And, you know, it's part of the journey. And there's a lot of recipes that I have that have come from failure as well. So for me, you know, it's quite hard to say or put it together and say where something has come from failure. But I would say for my career, I would say it has come from failure. It has come from a lot of challenges as well. And some points where I find there was failure to understand a recipe or something within a kitchen. And instead of just giving up, I would basically come in on my days off and try and keep going over it and over it and over it until I mastered it. And after mastering it, I think where the success came for me from mastering these recipes is where I saw where I did not go wrong, but the person that was showing me went wrong. And then I could change that for other chefs to come along, easily understand something. So I would say that that is the success of my failure for me, or as you can say, the condiment to my success was seeing when I pushed myself to understand something where I thought it was me being the issue. It wasn't. It was the person that was teaching me that was the issue. And then I accepting the challenge from there and saying, you know what, I need to change how this is thought so that they can understand something a bit more easier. So for me, I think that is a perfect example where I had success from failure, which is I failed in something, but eventually when I got it right, I realized it was not me. And then I took the mantle from there and I said, you know what, I'm going to change this around so that others that come after me can easily access this information or understand this interpretation of something or a dish or sauce.
In terms of food, in terms of being a chef, but can you think where that metaphor has made a mark in your life as a man, as a father?
Yeah, to be honest, it again, as I say, you know, for me, it is understanding where I went wrong and where I help others to go right. But also, as I said before, seeing where it wasn't me, I was not the issue, was the person that was teaching me. And also, too, as a chef coming up in this industry as well, when, let's say, 15 years ago, when I came into the industry and I wanted to do modern Caribbean cuisine, there was no one to mentor me or no one to help. Even if you reached out to the people that were in the industry, they would not respond. So I would say, for me, I felt like, you know, what I was feeling at what I had to do or what I wanted to achieve with modern Caribbean cuisine. So then I set out to do it myself. And, you know, I just paid attention to what I wanted to do, the goal I wanted, how I thought the food looked, how I wanted the food to look. And it has opened a door for so much other chefs coming behind me. And when they reach out to me, I am that person there responding and saying, you know what? Hi, yes, this is what we can have the conversation. We're having conversations about modern Caribbean cuisine. Now, modern Caribbean cuisine is on the lips of how many people throughout in London. And this is something that started about 15 years ago. So I would say that is how it resonates with me, to see where I felt like it was not, Caribbean cuisine was not something sought after or worth having a conversation. So I made my way out there to make sure that it has a conversation. And now we are having a conversation about modern Caribbean cuisine today. So I can say for me, I would say that is how it resonates. Again, I don't think of anything as a failure. I just think as, you know, as Caribbean, everything happens for a reason. That was not for you. You know, my mother would say, that was not for you, boy. That was not for you. So don't worry. That is my mentality. If I fall, I get up a little bit stronger, I get up a little bit smarter, and I keep moving towards my goal. So I don't actually see anything as a failure. You know, I had times and I even had in 2009, before I migrated to the UK, I lost my house to fire. I had nothing. I was on the street. I was homeless. I had nothing. And that was in Barbados. And my name was not known. I now started out as a chef for about 5 years. for about 7 years at that point. And I had lost everything. I mean, I just had a pant and a shirt. I had no shoes on my feet. I had nothing, and I was just homeless. And I had to figure out, what can I do? How can I pick myself up? You know, and I moved from there onwards to thinking, you know what, because the restaurant we had at that point that I had worked at was empty and had closed for the season. So I said, you know what, speak to the people. You know, I spoke to the management. They allowed me to use the restaurant for Sunday. I wrote flyers and stuff, and I got some food stock, and I got alcohol, and I got all sorts of stuff. And I sell tickets from there. And I even got invited onto a radio station, a local radio station in Barbados, to sell these tickets and stuff. And from there is how I picked myself up. So again, it's not, once you have life and once you're breathing, for me, I don't see it as a failure. I don't see anything as a failure. So for me, I feel these examples that I give you is where, yes, there was a failure, but I saw where I could be a stepping stone for others and help them across the bridge a little bit faster than I could not get across.
You know what you've said a little bit differently than what I tell my team, but the principle is still the same. I say to my team that when you work with us as a team, because your passion is whatever it is, whether it's to be an editor, whether it's to be a script writer, you're not going to on purpose come and give me something that's setting you up to fail. You're going to give me what you think is the best of your ability. So that cannot be a failure, because you're doing what you think is best. And then we will fine tune. And the more we fine tune, the more you get to know your style, the more you see your uniqueness. And so I don't like the word failure like you, but I have to accept that it's one of those words that is set up to be negative.
But
if we try to use it or in a more positive way, it will help us to have less inhibitions and enable us to be more of ourselves, whatever field we choose, you know, to be in. But, you know, you were speaking earlier about being younger and not having any mentors. And I mean, you and I, we're come from the same generation and the same era. And I remember, in those days, we didn't have a lot of, you know, Black representation in the UK. And it was very difficult to get a mentor. But I still find now in present day, and I think that we are an exception to this, that we can have people who look like us, but still, if we reach out to them, they're not as forthcoming as we would hope, because there's still this method or this, not method, there's still kind of clinging onto what they know. And I wish that it wasn't that way. I wish that we could be with, you know, people, whether they look like us or not. I think it's about the industry. Once we know that someone is passionate about what they want to do, that we should be more, what's the word I'm looking for? We should help them, you know, we should help them more.
Be more supportive.
Be more supportive, yes.
And the one of the things that I find in tandem is that one of the things that I find that is annoying, and I was just on my live earlier today saying the same thing, is where, you know, we have so much negativity for others. And one thing that I tell a lot of people with social media, because I'm very present on social media as well, is that it's called social media. Take a hint from that. So when you get upset by people commenting, when you get upset by people, you know, whatever they do to a post you put on social media, do not be that individual, because it's called social. They have an opinion. Once they're not being nasty or beside themselves on anything, fair enough. There is fair game. So sometimes I will post a dish. Someone might not like it. Someone might say it's cold, it's this, it's the next, which, and I understand where sometimes comments come from negative, and where comments can come from someone that actually wants to learn. So I would find sometimes I would tell people, you know what, and I would tell a lot of social media influencers out there, don't really be upset You know, it's called social media for a reason. It's social. So this show could go on the air, as you said, and it's technically a part of social media as well. And people have an opinion and people have a voice, so they should be allowed to voice their opinion. So for me, I feel like, you know, we need to understand that first and foremost when we put things out there, but also if we can see something trying to grow as something trying to resonate as something trying to come from a place of history and culture, we should be respectful. That is one thing that I find. So for me, with modern Caribbean cuisine, most of the slack I will get is from people of Caribbean origins telling me, why does it need to change? And I will say, well, okay, I understand you, but we're not changing Caribbean cuisine. We're adding a different genre to it, which is called modern Caribbean cuisine. Modern Caribbean cuisine is where we utilize modern equipment and modern tools to recreate historically correct Caribbean dishes.
That's amazing.
And also not just tools, we are using our knowledge as well. We're epitomizing Caribbean cuisine in a different light and in different textures and a different approach, where some people like Italian food, some people like Asian food, some people like Korean food, but they might not like Spanish food, if you understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing for Caribbean food. But if you can do it differently, where it's welcoming to all, where it's more approachable, people love beautiful things. And I believe Caribbean food should naturally be beautiful and colorful. So when you look at a plate of Caribbean food, it should look like carnival on a plate. That is one thing I keep saying. It should look like carnival on a plate, full of color, full of life, full of energy, and also healthy, because Caribbean cuisine in the whole does not utilize a lot of dairy, because that is not a part of our history. We are not high in cream, we're not high in butter, we're not high in fat, we're not high in stuff like that. Which in a lot of people would forget. But we cure a lot of stuff, we preserve a lot of stuff, we dehydrate a lot of stuff, and we smoke a lot of stuff as well. It's only in this day and age we started to fry, you know, frying chicken, this and the next and the third, which, and yes, it's all acceptable. But we need to remember where we come from to know where we're going. It's like, you know, a sat-nav. You could be in the middle of nowhere. You have to drop that pin to tell you where you are, so it can tell you where you're going. It can't just tell you where you're going just like that. If you cannot put that in the sat nav, it can't tell you. So we always need to know where we come from to plot that journey to know where we want to be. And for me, it's a lot of that. And it's a lot of understanding, you know, we want to reflect Caribbean cuisine in a different light, in a different tone, you know, different kaleidoscope colors and flavors, and utilizing these new tools and stuff to show off our cuisine, you know. And one thing I tell a lot of people, they say, but why, you don't need to change it. I say, well, imagine if we took all the modern tools we had now, Delia. So let me think, we took the stoves, we the oven, we took the blender, we took the grinder, the juicer, we took everything, and we sent it, and we put it into a time machine, and we sent it back in time to these people that created all these amazing recipes for us, and just show them how to utilize these tools. What would our food look like now? So when people, you know, say, you know, why does it need to change? It is just like me saying, why did I become a chef? I did not become a chef just to do recipes over and over that you enjoy. I became a chef to do recipes that you can enjoy. Things different, a different experience with eating. So for me, that's it. I want to contribute to the next generation. I want to say, well, you know what? I am responsible for this and this recipe, elaborating on this recipe, evolving this recipe, doing something in a different light. So for me, you know, I could talk on this matter for hours, but again, you know, coming back to metaphorically speaking, that is it in a nutshell for me.
Well, that's why we thought of you instantly. And listeners, if you want to see and read more about Chef Jason and his thoughts, His website has some wonderful pictures, and it's just reading, you know, the concept behind how you're working on the things that you're doing. It's all there. So it's at chefjasonhoward.com. And how can we connect with you on social media?
It's as you just said, chefjasonhoward.com. Chef Jason Howard. It's everything is branded Chef Jason Howard across the board. It wasn't my idea, to be honest. I was thinking about a name for it, and everybody was just like, Chef Jason Howard, Chef Jason Howard, Chef. And we was like, well, just call it Chef Jason Howard. And then.
Yeah.
So everything is branded from Twitter, X to Facebook to Instagram to any other platform. Everything is Chef Jason Howard. So you can find me very easily.
Jason, thank you so much for being with us on Metaphorically Speaking. Your metaphor has given us a lot to think about.
And thanks again for having me, Delia. And thanks again for listening. And cheers.
I owe everything to the love of my life, my wife, Echo, who... who month after month... year after year for 20 years, told me that one day, my time will come. Dreams are something you have to believe in. I almost gave up on mine. To all of you out there, please keep your dreams alive.
The feeling of success is one of the most rewarding, gratifying feelings a person can experience. But why is this? Success often represents the culmination of hard work, dedication, and perseverance, making the triumph even more gratifying. Winning the race wouldn't feel as good if you started right before the finish line. Developing your recipe wouldn't feel as good if it was perfect right away. The concept of success is not deserved but earned. The elation we feel when we succeed is intricately linked to the attempt and the experience of failure. Failures serve as poignant reminders of the hurdles we have overcome, making the taste of success all the sweeter. Our achievements encompass our entire life, our stories, and those who have supported us. While we savor the sweet taste of success, we can look back to the multiple times we failed and the people who propped us back up. So you must push forward. Push harder than you ever have, and trust that if you fall, there will be people there to catch you.
Yeah, if you get the passion to do it, and you do it, and it doesn't like work out. I worked for, got 3 years on a 16mm film that ended up becoming nothing but guitar picks, and I was very disappointed when I realized it wasn't any good. But it was my film school, all right, and I actually got away really cheap. When it was all over, I knew how to make a movie. I didn't want to show anybody that, but I had the experience. I had a lot cheaper than I would have gone if I'd gone to film school.
So you've decided you want to push. Now what? What are your first steps? Do you need a roadmap? There is no answer to these questions. In fact, to start learning, and more importantly, learning to fail, you need to throw these preconceptions away. It's a simple strategy. You want to make a film? Start shooting. You want to draft a business strategy? Start typing. You want to start a restaurant? Start cooking. You might be thinking this sounds risky or half-baked. In some aspects, you are right. But the only way to constructively fail efficiently is to start. This process allows you to establish your own method, your own recipe for success. In the interview you just heard from Comic Con in 2006, the legendary film director Quentin Tarantino was asked if he had any advice for aspiring directors. Instead of providing hopeful attendees a golden nugget of the film industry, he boils his achievements down to a simple ability to start making films. For 3 years, he exclusively worked on a 16mm film that became nothing but guitar picks. Many of you may cringe at the idea of a failure this large, as he blew away a $5,000 investment on a dud film. And yet, he goes on to state that this was his film school, and once it was all over, I knew how to make a movie. This is especially true as this failed film, My Best Friend's Birthday, was repurposed. Many lines of dialogue used in the film were implemented into his next script, True Romance, which was so successful that he was able to sell the script to fund production of Reservoir Dogs, one of the most critically acclaimed films of the 90s. By using his own failure constructively, Tarantino was able to solidify his position within the film industry and is now one of the most prominent modern directors in Hollywood. While our own goals may be of different size or interest, the premise remains the same. Invest in yourself so you can enjoy the rewards it brings.
Failure has been achieved, thank God. Now, the only place to go from failure is to win. You have to achieve failure. You have to take it that far. Nobody wants to go that far. It's too scary. But you know something? I got news for you. That's where winning is.
To succeed, we must change our definition of failure. As stated by Tom Platz, you have to achieve failure to truly win. If our definition of failure remains negative, we will remain afraid of achieving it. As you embrace success when you finally achieve it, embrace failure in the same way. Your road to achievement will quickly become easier. In all of our desires and goals, the mindset is the most crucial factor in deciding how or when we will achieve them. Remaining positive and hungry for growth will allow you to become unbreakable, so you may savor your successes even sooner. For many of us, this is an incredibly difficult concept to come to terms with. But if you can find it in yourself to seek failure just as desperately as you do success, you'll find yourself shining more brightly than anyone.
Here's US presenter Steve Harvey with encouraging words about failure.
I have failed far more times than I've succeeded. Far more. You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Failure is a part of the process to becoming successful. I tell people this all the time. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. 946 times since he was in high school, the ball has been in his hand to take the game-winning shot with no time on the clock. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When he make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get through failing, 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 all you got to do is make one. All you got to do is make one. I've had in my career probably a total of, I've been to over 200 pitch meetings to pitch ideas in Hollywood. Out of those 200, they have picked five of them. 200 meetings, 200 show ideas, they've picked five of them. But you know what them five was? Hits. So you know what they made me? A star. I only hit five. The rest of the shows I had, somebody thought of and asked me to be on the show, and I might have turned it into a hit. But I've only been picked, five of my ideas got picked. In 33 years, five ideas got picked. All I need is five hits. That's all. Y'all don't even know I was in them other meetings. They don't write about it. They just write about my hits. You just need a hit, man. So when you fail, it's a part of the process. Keep going. You're supposed to fail. Shit, who you know that gets it right all the time? That's impossible. You have to fail. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you're one step closer. So every time you fail, say, whew, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again, okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit. A baseball player gets paid millions and millions of dollars for a 300 batting average. That means out of every 10 times he goes to the plate, he only hits the ball three times.
Failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. It's a powerful metaphor that has allowed Chef Jason Howard, as well as millions of others, to achieve their goals, no matter how big or small. A fear of failure makes the sky the limit. Embrace it, and you can rise above it and reach beyond.
I mentioned earlier that you should visit our guest, Chef Jason Howard, on YouTube to see how amazing his dishes look. The way he plates them are pretty amazing too. Listen to how easily he describes how to make his world-famous beetroot sponge. Picture it, and then follow it on YouTube. You'll need one siphon, two gas cylinders, one cup, one whisk, one bowl, and the ingredients: plain flour, two eggs, which is one whole egg and one egg white. Over to you, Jason.
So today, guys, we're going to be making a beetroot sponge. I know everyone keeps asking me how to make that beetroot sponge on Instagram, so I'm going to post a video to help you learn how to make the beetroot sponge just like me. I have my siphon, two gas chargers. You need two. Please do not use one and play cheap, because it would not work as good. I got about 60 grams of flour. I got some beetroot puree. I'm not really that perfect puree, but I just use some fresh beetroots and blend them up. You have a plastic cup and two eggs. We're not going to actually use the whole two eggs. We're going to use one egg and one egg white, not the yolk. So first, what we're going to do, going to crack your eggs. And we're just going to use the yolk. Not the yolk, sorry. Egg white. There you go. Then what we're going to do, we're going to add the puree. This is about 150 grams of puree. And we're just going to whisk. Then we're going to add the flour. I don't add all the flour at the same time. I just add a bit at a time, because I know the consistency I'm looking for. There, just a bit of salt for taste. You can season with anything you want. I just use deodorized table salt. In. We're gonna use the gas chargers now. Take your first gas charge and you charge your liquid. Mostly face the siphon down and shake. Then you're taking the charge out. So as we can see, there you go. We're gonna take plastic cup, microwave, and you just give it 30 seconds. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had it in there for 30 seconds, and this is the consistency again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Metaphorically Speaking. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something new. We'd love you to share the show with your friends, and please feel free to leave a review on colorful.com or on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all major streaming platforms. If you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk. Join us for another metaphor next week. Until then, keep safe. I'm Delia Delore. Goodbye.